cited by a doctor. So I'm not smart enough to figure something like that out.
It's got more brains than we've got.
And it was on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Yeah, that internet thing. It's such a fun place.
ESCO Learning is now on the go with the HVACR Learning Network app. Access your courses, learn on the go, chat with community, get updates, and more. Keep your HVACR learning journey moving. Visit hvacr.elearn.network or scan the QR codes below.
All right, everyone, thank you for joining us on Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. So we are spending some time with Paul Rhodes, the podcast professional for Maintenance Mindset. How are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, man. You know, we've had some great time getting to know each other in a short period of time.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, it's just some of the topics that we come across, it's just like we have fun in our industry.
Well, yes, and you have to.
Yeah.
If what was it, a study here recently that I came across that says if it takes 4,000 repetitions of something to develop a new neural pathway.
Wow.
But if it's fun,
yeah,
or you enjoy it,
right,
it's only 20.
Wow.
And I forget
the difference.
I forget the doctor that did it, but it's cited by a doctor. So I'm not smart enough to figure something like that out.
It's got more brains than we've got.
And it was on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Yeah,
that internet thing. It's such a fun place. All right, so you're bringing up a very interesting topic. I actually had a couple contractors bring up to me earlier, right? So we've got a lot of contractors here that we don't normally get. These last couple of years, we've had a significant growth in contractors that are looking at their own training programs. And then they come to ESCO, they're like, okay, we're going to do our own training program, or we're at least going to do supplemental training for our apprenticeship programs. But what content do we give them and when, right? Because if we get things out of sequence, it might not even pertain to what we're trying to teach them. Like if I try to teach somebody a heat pump on semester one, in semester two, I give them basic refrigeration, they're going to go, what?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe the basic refrigeration might have an application
to it. Yeah.
But if you're trying to, that doesn't function correctly. Yeah,
exactly.
And that was kind of the genesis of a thought I've had all conference long, is that, you know, you come to a conference like this and there are so many tracks and there are so many great vendors and sponsors and such fantastic information available. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose.
Oh, yeah.
As a humming
nostrils. And
it's just, literally, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
The amount of information that is coming at you. And I've been really trying to figure out, how does one prioritize the amount of knowledge that's coming in? I mean, yesterday morning, one of the big things that came out was in my news feed that I read every day. It talked about a update to the AIM Act, and the AIM Act is going away,
right,
and it's there. And there have been a lot of sessions that go on, and listeners, just so you know, no,
right,
not for the majority of industries, at least that I work with.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a couple of pieces that are under review, but
yep,
it doesn't affect anything in multifamily.
Nope.
And my guess is most residential and commercial air conditioning professionals.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing under review is supermarket, small piece of supermarket. Yeah.
That's it.
That's all.
Yeah.
But it's things like that unless you're paying attention to everything, it's hard to keep track on what is relevant to you.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you pay too much attention to everything, then you lose reality. You lose what's happening right now.
I agree completely.
So what do you think?
Where do we begin?
What is a good beginning place for an education program? I won't even say for a beginning student of air conditioning.
Yeah.
But for an education program, where do you start at point one? I mean, do you go all the way back to this is a screwdriver and this is a pair of channel locks?
Yes. So, and the reason that I say that and the reason I believe that is we're getting a lot of comments from schools of students that cannot read a tape measure.
Oh, yeah.
They've never been taught how to open a tape measure. And I kept hearing that and I kept hearing that. And I thought, man, really? Is it that bad? Okay, so get this. I'm going to admit to something that I'm ashamed of.
This is a safe space. It's just you and me.
It
really,
is. That's
truly
true.
That's it.
Okay. So my son buys his first house last year. And we're over there this winter, and he's finishing the garage, right? And so I'm into woodworking, and I've tried to teach him woodworking over the years. He's picked up some of it. Most of it he didn't because Dad was teaching him.
Right.
If it was, you know, Uncle Bob, you know, he'd probably been a master woodworker by now. But Dad's teaching him, so he's going to learn a few of the basics. And
that's right.
And same way with HVAC, right? You know, and so there's certain things I tried teaching him and picked up on. Quite a few things, but so we're doing woodworking, right? So I'm like, okay, son, so what are you going to do? We're going to put some metal on, and then I want to cut some wood to use for the trim on things. I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. And he picked up a whole bunch of cedar, really good looking lumber that we're going to put for trim on the very top, right, between the metal walls and the ceiling. And so we're getting all the cedar out, and we're in this place in the corner and around the window, and we're measuring. I'm like, all right, go get me a measurement on that. And he says, it's a little over 27. And I'm like, how much over? He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bars over. I'm like, well, is that in eighths or is that in sixteenths? Is that in 32nds? Is that in 64ths? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, what? I'm like, let me see that. And it's in eighths. And I'm going, did I fail you? Did I never teach you how to read a tape measure? And he's like, you probably did. I don't honestly remember if you taught me how to use a tape measure. And I'm like, and you've never used a ruler or tape measure in school this entire time, all the way through your associate's degree?
I went to work for one of my first educational programs. I taught myself how to use authoring software to create some e-learning programs for a supplier. Mm-hmm. And I am not gifted in that area,
right.
But it needed to be done.
Yep, how to learn it.
And I was the only one.
Yep.
So I did. And the supplier came to me. They did cabinets and kitchens.
Yep.
And they came to me after I produced the first one, which was on swimming pools. And they said, Paul, we need you to create an e-learning course for our salespeople. I said, okay.
Sounds interesting.
Is it reading, you know, designs or sales or whatever? And I said, no, a simple one. Really, really easy. We need them to learn how to read a ruler. Okay, hold on. What?
Did I miss something?
And the same look. And they said, we're having too many cabinet doors, fronts, faces, and drawers being returned because they meant 3/8 instead of 3/4. And they need to know the difference between the two of them because the drawers aren't fitting in the holes that are cut in fabrication.
Shouldn't laugh, but.
And I turned back to him and I said, wait a second, you're talking about salespeople who are in charge of millions of dollars in sales for your company. And you hired them without verifying that they can read fractions.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is, wait, you're coming to a guy who is, I plunge toilets for a living. Right. This is like a side gig.
Yeah.
And you want me to teach them?
Yeah.
How much commission do I get for every correct measurement
do? Right. Let's put some factors in this thing. Let's measure this.
But it is, and I agree with you that when we start an educational program of any type, we have to start at ground zero.
Yeah.
I don't know what ground zero is or identifying it because at some point it becomes too elementary.
Yeah, you can't stay there too long either.
Yeah. So, you know, the running joke of what's the difference between a Phillips and a flathead screwdriver. One's a plus, one's a minus.
Exactly.
And you move on.
Yep.
And those foundational skills, I believe, and I completely agree with you. It has to start from a point of almost, when you're later on in your career, almost absurdity.
Yeah.
For what do you mean you don't understand?
Exactly.
And the next piece is we have to be very, very careful to do a learner's assessment.
Yeah.
Because we can't assume almost anything.
Yep.
I was trying to teach a couple of years ago, and this same incidence has been repeated three times.
Yeah.
I had a student come up to me. We were teaching fan motors and how to determine which direction the blade is going to turn to where you got the yellow and the purple wire coming out old capacitor motor.
Exactly.
And you flip it around.
Yep.
And the way that you look is with the rod in your nose and it's counterclockwise or clockwise.
Yeah.
And after we finished that section, guy came up to me and he says, Paul, you talked about clockwise and counterclockwise. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
And I said, and I held up my watch,
right.
Analog watch.
Yeah.
And I said, this is the direction the hand goes over. He held up his digital watch.
He didn't know what a moving mechanical hand was.
No idea.
Right.
So I think we definitely need to start with foundational.
Yeah.
And we can't make an assumption as where that starting place is. Yeah. So as educators, we have to be soft and use humor and make it a safe place in the classroom.
Yep.
So questions like that can be asked.
Yep.
I think the challenge is also complicated by just the environment we are in.
Yeah. And your audience.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it is.
Audience is there. Yeah. And the technological changes are coming so fast now.
Yep.
I attended a session this morning on inverter technology. And I know the word.
Yeah.
And I think I could fumble my way through a definition until attending this session.
Right.
And the more and more I thought about it, the buildings that I'm working on, the technicians that I'm training right now today, are not working on anything inverter.
Yeah.
So from a prioritization standpoint, that's a topic that I'm going to say it's not even on my radar. It's outside the realm of my radar.
Yep.
But I'm aware that it could jump onto my radar should my management company come up with a
next product.
With a product.
Yes.
That's on there.
Yep.
I kind of think the answer is something along that lines. You start at almost absurdly foundational, absurdly simple, and continually build skills. The challenge is that continually build piece of how long does it take to get from simple
here to there
to complex, and how many steps is it going to take? And from an educational standpoint, what's my responsibility as the educator to provide, and what is the student's responsibility to pull?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And that I think is the answer I've come to. Is that anywhere reasonable?
No, you're right. So I approach it in two different perspectives. And so the two things that have worked very, very successful for me, it depends on, am I teaching someone from ground zero, or am I teaching someone who has existing education in this particular sector? So what I did is, particularly if I was working with a company, like let's just say I was doing an interview for a company that I was doing dealer onboarding, right? And so I'm introducing a new brand of equipment to a company's installation and service department. The very first thing that I do, they're anticipating I'm coming there to teach them about this very specific product and technology. And in fact, the very first thing that I do is I administer a 100 question baseline assessment that has questions going from the most simplest of things like tape measurements, all the way up to questions that I can't answer that I've sourced from engineering. And so I do a 100 question assessment and I start administering that. And out of that, what you find is not what the people know, it's the things that they need assistance on. And then as long as the majority of the things are falling into one sector, then I can assume that that should be the next thing that I'm teaching in my class.
So this is, you're an outside instructor going into a contractor. And testing these contractor employees.
Yes.
And, okay, my question, this is where it gets challenging because you're going into somebody else's business with their employees.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get around the business problem, the true business problem of you're handing out an evaluation? It's not a pass-fail test.
Nope.
And as a matter of fact, the more accurate and the less intimidating for the student it is, the better, more accurate the results are that lead to a better program.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge, though, is how do you handle the employer who is going to come back and want to use that as a performance tool, a performance evaluation tool? How do you handle that?
Boy, I upset a handful of experienced technicians along the way because I actually encourage it.
Oh, the
using the assessment.
Using the assessment as a performance management tool?
As a performance and evaluation.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I take a pretty hard stance on it, on that perspective, because in that assessment, I do learn what needs to be taught.
Right.
And I also learn who doesn't know what they were already supposed to know because they told the employer they did. And it's a difficult place to be. There's a lot of people that don't like me at that minute. But then I turn around and go, okay, what we're actually doing here is we're looking at, because you'll get the ones that there's no way, this is impossible to pass. And it's exactly like you say it. You come back and go, there's actually no passing on this. It's not a you failed or you passed. This is what training do we need the most to get to the next level? And the most common deficiency in our entire group is this electrical schematic reading. And so now everyone is getting electrical schematic training, but there were some technicians that really struggled on the entire thing. And that's because I know that they just started.
Right.
So they're going to go over and they're going to do an EPA 608 or they're going to do a very, very fundamental class. And so then I look at catering the training to the deficiency of what we have. And it takes a couple of times of doing that, but the beauty of doing that repetitive is that after they whine for a little while, you can go, okay, now we're going to compare yours to the average for everyone that's taken these tests, and they're going to look at it and they're going, oh, everybody failed electrical wiring, didn't they? And like, yes, they did. And that's why we're going to start right here this group.
This is a vault.
We're going
to start with that. Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. That is in today's environment, which is set up so rapidly for our for employees, which is fascinating to me. On one hand, our employers and the business culture we're in are expecting rapid change, rapid improvement. You know, here's this e-learning class. Before you knew nothing about electrical, now you're a master.
Go do it.
2 hours of training, go.
Yeah.
Be on your way and God bless.
Exactly.
And yet the flip side is a program like that, which is a really neat, simple idea. I've heard it applied to other industries.
Yeah.
But here, the challenge, I guess, is we're not dealing with urgency, complicated issues. And by that, I mean, when a pipe breaks, the solution is fairly simple. Find the valve and turn it off.
Yeah.
And then there's always the option of hiring a contractor to get it done. So the urgency is reduced because we can solve it by paying for the solution outside.
Exactly.
What that tells me is on the backside for our employees, we can train them over time.
Yeah, on that specific application.
Yes, by exposure, by controlled challenges. some by even allowing learning opportunities for mistakes.
Yep.
So that it's also interesting that for students, I've got to imagine that it becomes an incentive of last time we took this test, I missed the electrical section.
Yeah.
Here we are 3 months later, and now I'm 3/4 the way. I knew the answer to 3/4 of those questions.
Yeah.
So you have proof of progress.
Yep.
So that is really neat.
Yeah. And you want to fire up a young technician?
Oh, man. Yes.
You show them what they can do. You show them the things that they need to learn to be successful. Now you've given them a path.
Yes. Especially mm-hmm. if you can incorporate with that mm-hmm. some really cool tools, gadgets, and gizmos.
Here's your little thing along the way.
That's exactly
absolutely
right.
So that is how I typically approach an established environment. An established learning environment, where it's a contractor, whether it is a department, a maintenance department. So an established working department. If I'm looking at a program from ground zero or at like an apprenticeship program, then I follow things that are very accepted within the industry. A very rudimentary introductory into the refrigeration cycle, into electrical, into refrigerants. But along the way, at every step, on every type of training, we're following that with an industry accepted certification.
Okay.
So it becomes a tiered training.
And a proven concrete levels.
Yeah.
So that you know you have to prove to our point earlier of finite progress.
Yes.
It's not just I feel like you're doing better. I feel like you know more.
Exactly.
No, I can prove you know more.
Let me show you the numbers.
The question for you, though, and I know you may be a little bit biased.
Yeah.
At what point in that educational program do you introduce refrigerant into the progress?
Yeah.
And I ask this question because in the apartment industry, you know, that Section 608 certification is held up as the, you are the everything because you have that certification when we know it doesn't teach how to do anything.
Exactly. So the apprenticeship program that I put together, mm-hmm. I use that as bait.
Okay. Oh, the 608
as bait. The 608 is your bait.
Okay.
So the 608 gets introduced as the very first course.
Really?
Very, very first course, but not the complete 608 program. I don't go through universal. I go through type 1 and type 2.
Okay.
All right. But they're not testing.
So you introduce the content.
The content.
First.
The concept.
The concept of refrigeration and carrying heat and movement. And
answering questions along the way. So the first 2 weeks, that's what you get to see.
Okay.
You get to see that our industry is based around refrigerants and regulations. And then later we're going to explore what they do and how they do it. Because in that first couple of weeks, either they're in or they're out.
And I like that because it also defines the why.
Yes.
From a technical level, why do we have all the fan motors and relays and sensors and switches and buttons and why do I need to study electrical so much? And this flashy thing of refrigerant and being able to do that and meet that level is actually a minor part in the repair scheme of things.
Absolutely.
But I like that.
Yeah.
It's thinking about it a little bit backwards. Mm-hmm. The programs that I've done, we introduce it. It's out there, but it's in the future.
It's later. Yeah.
Because maintenance technicians have got to get all of the other stuff right.
Yep.
Before I want them going to grab a jug.
Absolutely, you do.
So the thinking is that the training progression reinforces that.
That's exactly right. So you tell them right up front, this is what you're going to learn. This is a learning outcome of this course. And at the end of this, you are going to need to be comfortable with this information that we're going to work on these first 2 weeks, because at the end of this course, we're going to dive really deep into it, and you're going to be required to pass a universal in this course. The goal is you're
universal. It'll be fine if you just get your type 2.
Right.
But what we're going to do is we're going to focus on getting you the highest achievement we can out of this program. It's okay if you don't get it, but that's what we're going to do. And so now we're going to start here at these fundamentals, and I want you to be thinking about these as we go through all of our refrigeration training. So I start out with the very, very, very basic of 608. They get their study manual, and they keep that through the entire course.
So they can read it the one time that is needed to memorize all the information that's in there, right?
That's exactly right.
If you're listening, no, yeah, that's a
that
joke.
That doesn't work. It's just a study guide. It's right. Just a piece. It's like the highlights.
It definitely is.
So I start there, and then I actually move into what is air? Very fundamental. What is the things around us? And then I'll start moving into the chemical. Then I'll start moving into the refrigeration. And actually, refrigerants comes after refrigeration. So I would teach the refrigeration cycle first.
That makes sense.
And then go into what are refrigerants so that I can help them understand that these refrigerants, it could be any of them, because all of them do the thing that happened before. So literally think of putting your training together as your sequence of operation.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That way you keep the most complicated piece of which number refrigerant is this and why does it have a 4 in front of it as opposed to just 2 numbers. Yep. And all of that complication gets stayed out till later because you are building that why. Telling why do we need to know this next thing? It's because of this. Now, we're not going to worry about this. We need to learn the next thing. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, now that we're learning this next thing, this next thing is the why. Mm-hmm. We need to learn the next thing. And then, so it's almost like you introduce it and then build up.
That's exactly.
It. And then by getting all the way to the end of it, you've solved that first piece, that first why.
Yeah. It's kind of like throwing a joke out or a riddle out and going, at the end, you're going to solve it.
Right. And to where you will have the answer.
You will have this answer.
And then never talk about it again.
That's some fun training. So I approach them differently. Yeah.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. The challenge is getting the time now.
Yeah.
That's the challenge part.
Yeah, because it all costs.
Yeah, it all costs. And the longer the period of time is between knowledge and application, the faster the atrophy of the knowledge that is gained.
Yeah. Man, this is a good one.
Yeah, I think so too. Right.
Paul Rhodes, how can we learn more about everything you're doing in the industry?
The best way to learn more about what's going on is 2 locations.
Yep.
One is LinkedIn. Okay. I'm active on LinkedIn, and that is the best place to find out about me and what's going on. Mm-hmm. The second place is actually my podcast.
You betcha.
The Maintenance Mindset. It's a podcast on the Multifamily Media Network. And all the episodes are found there and on YouTube. And I speak at a lot of conferences around for the Apartment Association. And I'm just happy to continue to learn myself. This conference, and if for those of you who are listening, if you are interested in coming to one place to learn something that you never ever thought you needed to know, this is a great place to come.
Well, thank you, sir. All right, I appreciate it. Everybody needs to go check out everything Paul's doing and spend some time on the Maintenance Mindset podcast. Everybody have a great day.
We'll see you.